And good morning, everybody, on this partially foggy Friday morning. Glad to have you with us on 88.1. I'm Tom Hall. It's Maryland Morning. Mark Reuter from the Baltimore Brew joins me this morning here in Studio A. If you're not familiar with it, the Brew is an online news source that focuses on local issues. Mark and his colleagues at the Brew will stop by Maryland Morning from time to time for a series that we're going to call the Accountability Index. Much of the Brew's reporting has to do with holding local and state officials accountable for a variety of taxpayer expenditures, and our hope is that we'll be able to zero in on certain projects and explore how public money is being spent to find out simply if we're getting our money's worth. We'll also explore accountability as it relates to policy. For example, did you know that last month during the City Council committee hearing on whether or not to appoint Kevin Davis as the permanent police commissioner, Charm TV, the cable access channel that broadcasts City Council meetings, went off the air for about 5 minutes during the time that police were escorting protesters and some news media out of the council chamber. So anyone watching the proceedings of that meeting on TV did not see that part of it. When the council committee resumed its agenda after the protesters were cleared from the room, the TV channel went back on the air. We will look into that with our Brew colleagues on a future edition of the Accountability Index, but today we want to talk to Mark Reuter about a couple of road projects and the system of granting contracts for this kind of work. Morning, Mark. Good to see you.
Well, good to see you.
So you've been looking into this for quite a while now. There are two in particular that you wrote about. Your most recent story just appeared online on the Brew yesterday afternoon. Let's talk about the scope of the problem, and we'll start with the road resurfacing that they're doing in Roland Park on Roland Avenue, kind of around where Eddie's Supermarket is down to like Cold Spring Lane. What's going on up there?
What's going on there is it was a road repaving streetscape project, been in the works for years. Over the summer, the city's contractor put in a new pavement, but the curbs were too low or the pavement was too high. That's unsure. But the net result is that this $3 million project was really inadequate. Residential houses and others were being flooded every time it rained from rainwater that was pouring out of the street. There were not sufficient storm drains. And we started getting involved in the story in September and found out that the city's solution was to hire the same contractor who did this, pay them allegedly, they said, under $1 million to redo all the curbing. And that has since progressed to where we find out, and I wrote about yesterday, that the price tag is not $900,000, but is now over $2 million with the latest addition approved by the mayor and Board of Estimates on Wednesday.
And this is an additional $2
million.
This is not, this is over and above what the project originally
what
cost.
What seemed like a very straightforward project, in their own words, a simple shave and pave is what they call it, meaning you shave off the surface and repave it, is now 55% or over $2 million over the original low bid, and it still has 4 or 5 months to go, and the road is still a mess, as anyone traveling along it will see.
We're going to talk about one as well in a little bit over on Dundalk Avenue, but between these two projects, they were originally priced at about $18 million. They're currently at $28 million.
Right.
That's $10 million bucks, more expensive than projected. I spoke with Kathy Dominick from the Department of Transportation yesterday. She's a spokeswoman. And I asked her, how is it that they could do a whole thing and then have to rip up the curb that they had put in and put in a new curb? I mean, it seems like that could have been anticipated, the fact that they were going to have flooding. And she basically said that, you know, these things happen. They were not able to anticipate that. She suggested that the new asphalt is less porous than the old asphalt. Therefore, when the rain falls on that asphalt, it does not seep into the ground the way it used to, and it ended up seeping into people's yards. The other thing is how long these projects are taking. Expects that the Dundalk Avenue streetscape is going to be completed by the end of this month, but this Roland Avenue project, which we're talking about now, may not be completed until sometime in the spring.
That's correct.
Is this the kind of thing that an engineer from the Department of Transportation could have, should have anticipated? Because the contractor is going to say, or has said, that we're simply building this thing to the specs that we were given. And so they were given a curb height and an asphalt height, and they built it. And then it turns out it didn't work, so they had to rip it up and do it all over again.
Well, on both of these cases, the Dundalk Avenue one is really interesting. Dundalk Avenue from Eastern Avenue to the city line, or a little under a mile, has been under reconstruction. This month, it will be entering its third year. It, too, has had a 55% cost increase. And in that case, the city repaved the northbound lanes of Dundalk around a year and a half ago, and then, oops, they found out that the subsurface was cracked. They then ripped out everything, and another year plus has transpired. And the project is still not done. It's really fascinating. The Board of Estimates had mention of this project on Wednesday, 2 days ago, and said that the project would be extended till the end of this year, strictly due to administrative reasons and that the contractor has completed the work. We went out yesterday for this story in the rain down in Dundalk, and there was construction, road barricades and barriers throughout the length of Dundalk Avenue. The work clearly is not completed.
And again, the spokesperson for the DOT yesterday said that she expects it to be completed this month. I mean, did it look like they could get it knocked off by, you know, Thanksgiving or the end of the week?
I can't really say there, but, you know.
Yeah.
I wanted to say, Tom, that there's a really important policy issue here in how the city works and what we've really emphasized. And it's an acronym. It's a three-letter acronym that all city taxpayers should learn and start appreciating. It's called EWOs. EWO is an extra work order. And it is through EWOs that these projects start escalating in price from their original bid. The original bid is a low bid in this case, and the city gives the contract typically to the lowest bidder. But lo and behold, we find consistently in our reporting for the Brew that a year, 6 months, 9 months later, a series of EWOs come up on these contracts. And this is what's happening here. These EWOs are approved by the five-member Board of Estimates, headed by the mayor and city council president, Jack Young. For the 5 years I've covered this, they have never had a discussion about a single EWO, and we're talking collectively over $100 million, and it usually is approved without comment under a routine agenda.
They've never turned one down, as far as you can remember.
No, they have not.
And when it comes to this stuff, for example, the EWO that's given to the construction company on that's doing the Roland Avenue project, it's called the M. Lewis Construction Company, they get more than $1 million of extra money to fix what they weren't able to complete, you know, correctly the first time. Where's that money come from? And doesn't that money, you write in your story that money gets diverted from other projects that the city badly needs to address.
These larger roadway projects, these two roads are around 80% federally funded. So around 20% of the money comes directly from the general fund that our tax, property taxes go into. So much of the money, 80%, comes from federal, but there's a limited pot of federal money. And so they are diverting this money, which is part of the EWO process, from other much-needed projects. One example is the Hartford Road Bridge. The city knows that that bridge on Hartford Road crossing Herring Run is a mess. For 20 years, they've talked about rebuilding it. For the last 10 years, they have said that they would have bids and start the process. That road and bridge is still not gotten underway because of lack of funds. Edmondson Avenue Bridge in West Baltimore is another example of a badly deteriorated piece of infrastructure where the federal money is not going there. In part, we know because it's going to fix these previous projects that seem to endlessly never get done.
And is this the kind of thing, I mean, anybody who's ever renovated an old house, you know, is familiar with getting bids from various contractors and stuff. You say that the lowest bid often gets the job.
Yes.
But then there are all these EWOs, these extra work orders that pile up on top of it. When you look into these extra work orders, what about the transparency when it comes to finding out where they come from and, you know, how much are given out? Is it easy to get this information?
No, it's almost impossible to get that information. For example, Roland Avenue, the EWOs have besides the actual numbers, where it is, it's almost like reading a little specialized account. You have to figure out how these numbers work, but it's decipherable, a little bit hieroglyphic. There's typically one sentence that very generally just says for use in dealing with drainage problems. Very, very vague. Now, the city's statement there is, oh, if you want more information, the public or the press, you have to file a PIA, public information request, with the agency. In the case of the Roland Avenue, the Brew submitted a PIA request for information on the road, the inspection, how this all got into the situation it is now on September 13th. And almost 2 months has passed, and the city DOT has not supplied a word back.
All right, we will check in with you again about this and many other stories that you're working on at the Brew. Mark Reuter, good to see you. Thanks.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed this.
Mark Reuter is a reporter at the Baltimore Brew. It's a daily news website featuring investigative reporting and informed commentary about Baltimore and the region. He's been reporting in this area since 1970. He was a longtime reporter for the Baltimore Sun. This is the first installment of our series, The Accountability Index, here on Maryland Morning. We look forward to more conversations, which we basically ask, you know, who's minding the store when it comes to public dollars and public policy? We got more information and a link to the Brew on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Coming up later on today's show, Palestinian pianist Bishara Haroni and Israeli pianist Yaron Kohlberg will join me live in the studio. But first, after a break for news, the monthly Movie Mayhem is upon us. Anne Hornaday from the Washington Post and Jed Dietz of the Maryland Film Festival will have their tips for flicks that you might want to catch this month. It's Maryland Morning. Stay with us. And by the way, here's my tip. Listen to what Mr. Sterner has to tell you.